Tashaitva, after again showing them all to their parents. Tatayayo, he left that place. So I'll go back and start reading from text 14. After the sons of Sagar Maharaj, among the sons of Sagar Maharaj, one was named Asa Manjasa, who was born from the king's second wife, Kashini. The son of Asa Manjasa was known as Amshuman, and he was always engaged in working for the good of Sagar Maharaj, his grandfather. Formerly, in his previous birth, Asa Manjasa had been a great mystic yogi, but by bad association, he had fallen from his exalted position. Now in this life, he was born in a royal family and was a jati smara. That is, he had the special advantage of being able to remember his past birth. Nonetheless, he wanted to display himself as a miscreant, and therefore he would do things that were abominable in the eyes of the public and unfavorable to his relatives. He would disturb the boys sporting in the river Sarayu by throwing them into the depths of the water. Because Asa Manjasa engaged in such abominable activities, his father gave up affection for him and had him exiled. Then Asa Manjasa exhibited his mystic power by reviving the boys and showing them to the king and their parents. After this, Asa Manjasa left Ayodhya. Asa Manjasa was a jati smara. Because of his mystic power, he did not forget his previous consciousness. Thus, he could give life to the dead. By exhibiting wonderful activities in relation to the dead children, he certainly attracted the attention of the king and the people in general. Then he left that place immediately. We're seeing that these mystic yogis, several places, so many places, we're seeing how they're causing trouble. And the reason why is that nobody's happy in the material world. Even if you get great mystic powers, still you're completely dissatisfied. So, we see this with Bhaktivinod Thakur. His appearance day is coming up. He also had trouble with a mystic yogi. He was thinking he was God. He definitely had some mystic power, but still he was causing so much trouble, misleading people. He had no respect for Krishna. So eventually he was defeated, but causing so much trouble. And then Maharaj Amrish was troubled by Navas, creating some demon to kill Navas for a very small offense. And then we see Sumbari Moody. He was also a great mystic yogi who can sit at the bottom of the Jamuna River and meditate. But he was he cursed Garuda. So they're all dissatisfied. And then they get themselves in trouble. So no one is really very happy in this world, except the unalloyed pure devotee. This world is a place of misery and suffering. We try to make it better by our plans and schemes, but it's not possible. From the highest, Abrahma Bhuvanaloka the highest planet out to the lowest, all the places of misery where repeated birth and death take place. So, it says here that this great mystic yogi, obviously, if he has the power to bring people back from the dead, this is very unusual power, very exalted type of power. Any people would be so proud if they had this. I mean, but due to bad association, even with these great mystical powers, he had to take birth again, and he took birth in such an exalted position in a family of a king, the Ayodhya. So this is such an exalted soul, but still, he wasn't happy. He was just doing miscreant activities. I mean, you can imagine how much trouble he caused killing these people's sons. We have that other king who had to leave home because his son was go out and play with the kids and kill all the kids that he was playing with. So he was causing so much trouble, you know, just practically becoming a giant adimotic misery. So these miseries from other living entities that made his father was so disgusted, he gave him all affection and he was going to ban him, and then he brought the children back to life, but still then he left. So even though they could do these wonderful activities, they're just mostly causing trouble. This is the nature of the material world. Everyone's causing trouble. No one's happy, and they're all causing trouble. So, Krishna has given us some mercy. He has brought us Srila Prabhupada, and he gives us this Hare Krishna movement so that we can have something else to do in this world besides cause trouble. So this whole world, there's this Krishna and Maya, and of course Maya is these three modes of material nature. That's how there's nothing else in the material world but these three modes. So there's goodness, passion, and ignorance. And in Kali Yuga, our present age, practically speaking, there's only ignorance and passion. Even the big scientists and philosophers, almost all of them are just engaged in so many ignorant and passionate activities. And, of course, this creates a fearful situation. So how can they be happy when they're completely fearful and the modes are causing them so much trouble? So I just wanted to these three modes, they have to be transcended. We're just going to read, since there's not too much of the purport. I'm going to read a little purport from, very interesting how the modes of material nature work. And, how a person who's in transcendental consciousness has to deal with these modes. So let me read this. It's text 22 to 25, the three modes of material nature, chapter 14. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O son of Pandu, he who does not hate illumination, attachment, and delusion when they are present, or long for them when they disappear, who is unwavering and undisturbed through all these reactions of the material qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental, knowing that the modes alone are active, who is situated in the self and regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon a lump of earth, a stone, and a piece of gold with an equal eye, who is equal towards the desirable and the undesirable, who is steady, situated equally well in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, who treats alike both friend and enemy, and who has renounced all material activities. Such a person is said to have transcended the modes of nature. Purport. Arjuna submitted three different questions, and the Lord answers them one after another. In these verses, Krishna first indicates that a person transcendentally situated has no envy and does not hanker for anything. So just listening to a lecture that Prabhupada said, this is how we can tell if we're making advancement, if we give up this jealous. So if we're jealous of others, the Prabhupada gives the example there, he uses it for something else, but he also uses it there. He says that you can judge yourself by this. Just like when you eat, you can tell when you're satisfied. So Prabhupada says you can judge your advancement by seeing how jealous you are. That's all he said in that matter. When a living entity stays in this material world embodied by the material body, it is to be understood that he is under the control of one of the three modes of material nature. When he's actually out of the body, then he is out of the clutches of the material modes of nature. But as long as he is not out of the material body, he should be neutral. So whether you're illumined or attached, illuminated would be the mode of goodness, attachment, motive, passion, or delusion, you should be neutral. You shouldn't be too happy when you're illumined, and you shouldn't be too sad when you're a little bit of delusion. These are coming and going. All these modes are coming and going. They don't stay for very long. One should remember that, because even if one is suffering some misery, that will go away. And the Prabhupada says sometimes you're suffering some material happiness and you're suffering some misery. So they're both considered suffering. Now who where would you hear that? You can only hear this from the Vaishnavacharyas. We're so fortunate to be in this line of Krishna consciousness. So when we're having problems, at least we could sit out and chant Hare Krishna or study some of these books or associate with devotees, take some prasadam, have a kirtan. We could do something practical for getting out of the modes of nature. Otherwise, there's nothing but the modes. If you try to get out of the modes of passion by taking some intoxication, then you just go into the mode of ignorance. Mode of goodness is actually a pretty advanced mode. The only way to get even close to the mode of goodness is by following these Vedic, Vedic instructions, practicing karma, yoga. So pretty, wherever you look, you can see it's just ignorance and passion. Unlimited. But one is... He should engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord so that his identity with the material body will automatically be forgotten. When one is conscious of the material body, he acts only for sense gratification. But when one transfers the consciousness to Krishna, sense gratification automatically stops. One does not need this material body, and he does not need to accept the dictations of the material body. Qualities of the material body, material modes in the body will act, but a spirit soul, the self, is aloof from such activities. How does he become aloof? He does not desire to enjoy the body, nor does he desire to get out of it. Thus, transcendentally situated, the devotee becomes automatically free. He does not try to become free from the influence of the modes of material nature. He need not try to become free from the influence of the modes of material nature. And then you become free from the desire for honor and dishonor. So that will also dwindle as one remains fully engaged in devotional service. false honor and dishonor. The only real position is eternal servant of Krishna. So where is there a question of honor and dishonor from the material body? The material body is collapsing. It's collapsing around us. It's a collapsible trap. It's like I gave once before that horror movie. You're put into some elevator. The elevator starts closing in on all sides. And you're stuck in that situation. So this is the position. This is the position of the spirit soul. He's completely overwhelmed being inside this temporary body. Plus, the body, as we were hearing this morning, we have to get out of this body. There's no guarantee when or if. It's a sure thing. It's completely sure. It's just a matter of time. So this time factor, it's grinding, actually. The time factor has lots of time. There's no problem with the time factor. So it's grinding. Pretty much two or three, you can do the figures on this, two or three every second. So that doesn't sound like much. But when the day's up, a lot left. About 200 a minute, 1,200 an hour, 40,000 every day. So at the end of 60, 70 years, the whole population of the Earth planet of 6-7 billion people is finished. So how we have this opportunity in Krishna consciousness to utilize our time properly. Otherwise, everyone's just wasting their whole life. It's just one big waste of time in the material world. And it's just mercy that we're still living. Because not everyone's living from yesterday. So, we have to try to make advancement. Otherwise, you can see that if we're holding on to material attachments, how much longer can you hold on to them for? They're definitely going to be, you know, either you give them up voluntarily, or they're ripped away like that. Plus, there's no value to the material world. It's like if we're acting for the body, the example is given that you're putting your money into the wrong account. So you're putting all this money into the wrong account, and then at the when you go to take it out, you go to the bank, you think you have so much money, and you go to withdraw your money, and there's nothing there, because you were putting it in the wrong account. You were putting it in the body account. You weren't putting it in the soul account. And the body account, what's the use? Go on to another body. Even if you remember your last life, it didn't seem to help this mystic yogi so much, he was still causing trouble. So even if you remember your previous life, it's an advantage for Maharaj. But why was it an advantage for him? Because he had love of God. And somehow or other, due to his attachment to the deer, he fell down even from that position. So because he had that love of God, when he remembered the next lifetime in the deer body, he went to live by the sages, and they were giving him some prasadam. And then his next body, he was very, very careful not to waste even a moment with foolishness. So in that way, Maharaj was benefited. But if you're a mystic yogi, you remember your last lifetime, or sometimes materialists think they remember their last lifetime, but it doesn't do them any value. The only valuable thing is Krishna consciousness. That's why a devotee sees, you know, a lump of gold or a piece of stone with an equal eye. The story about Siddhartha Goswami having his touchstone, and he gave it to that man. The man wanted the most valuable thing. He wanted to become rich, so Siddhartha Goswami gave him the touchstone, and it could turn any metal into gold. So he was going around turning metals into gold for a while, but he was thinking also, why was it, you know, he wasn't getting that much pleasure out of it, because after a while, how much gold do you need anyway? You know, I'm sure these guys that are big billionaires, you know, what pleasure do they actually have with the money after a while? It's a complete illusion. And then they have to die too. It's like that one big billionaire, he was trying to keep all the germs away from him. He became so crazy after a while, trying to keep out every last little germ, that he wasn't enjoying anything anyway. And then he died also, so we wasn't even successful in that. Anyway, he noticed too that the touchstone was in Sanatana Goswami's garbage heap. So he's thinking, wait a second, if he has this valuable thing, he must have something more valuable. So he went back and he told him, well, if you want the most valuable thing, then throw the touchstone in the river. So he was a little bit attached, but he did it. And then Sanatana Goswami gave him the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And this is the most valuable. So we're the most wealthy. All the devotees are so wealthy. It's almost ridiculous. And they're trying to share the wealth. That's the only problem, that we want to share this wealth. And sometimes it's a little hard. So devotees, even Lord Chaitanya's devotees when he was on the planet, they were so unhappy sometimes because nobody was taken to Krishna consciousness. And then other times when they were chanting, they were completely in ecstasy. So they were happy and unhappy simultaneously. This is a devotee. He's happy because of his relationship with Krishna, but he's unhappy because others don't have that relationship with Krishna. So he's always trying to give this Krishna consciousness to others. Most valuable thing. Even, you know, people try to stay, you see, it looks like people are busy in the material world, but they're busy doing nothing, you know. Even sometimes it might be opening a big hospital, so you think this is a wonderful thing. But Bhakti Siddhartha explained that it's more important to make one person a devotee than to open up millions of hospitals. Imagine the endeavor opening up millions of hospitals, but it's more important to make one person a devotee. So we all have that opportunity day after day to help someone else become a devotee. And this is more important than so much mundane welfare activity. Even if you open up a million hospitals too, believe it or not, they'll all be full. It'll all be full before you get finished. You have to open up another million. The material world is from the highest planet down to the lowest. All misery. Don't think not. Whatever Krishna says, you can bank on it. You want a good bank account? Try to remember what Krishna is saying, and that'll go into your Krishna conscious bank account. And that bank account just keeps growing and growing and growing. And one day, you get enough money in that bank account that you can buy a ticket for Goloka Vrindavan. Right now we're saving up. But one day, we'll be able to buy a ticket to go back home, back to Godhead. What does it say? He need not try to become free from the influence of the modes of material nature. No, he should go on with his activities day after day. Just pushing on the Hare Krishna movement. This is the best activity. And this is how you develop that love. Prabhupada was the best devotee of Srimati Radharani. And you can see, just by looking at him, what he's preaching, right? He has all the qualities of Srimati Radharani. Very merciful, very kind, completely fixed in service to Krishna. completely, understanding all the Vedic scriptures. It's explained that Radharani, she knows the Vedic scriptures perfectly. She's the best Vedic scholar. So, but like that too, all the, whatever good qualities one can have, they'll exist when one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord. Mundane, there's no good qualities. Sometimes we think there's something good in this material world, but this is just illusion. So much illusion. So we should just figure out how we can surrender more to Krishna. That's our only business. Day after day, we have a new opportunity. How can I surrender? Maybe today I'll surrender to Krishna. Doesn't look good for that, because it wasn't that good yesterday or the day before, but maybe today. We should have hope. Hope against hope. And that hope is giving us great pain. So, I mean, how long do we want to remain being Maya's fool? What is that? Once burnt, twice shy? So say you're burnt, then the second time, you're a little bit careful. But say you burn yourself again. Once burnt, twice shy. Third time, fool. Fourth time, bigger fool. Fifth time, complete fool. So how long can we get tricked by Maya? Maya's pretty tricky, but... So Maya's very, very difficult. Dura, very hard, very difficult to conquer over. But simultaneously, in the same verse, she's easily conquered by one who's fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So there's always that chance that we can surrender. If we surrender, it only takes one moment, Prabhupada said, to become a pure devotee. One moment, or it might take millions and millions of years. So we're struggling, but we should keep struggling to try to surrender, to keep this mind 24 hours engaged, day after day, in the Lord's service. And we're struggling. It's like being in this desert. It's a desert of material existence. And we get over one hill, and it's just more sand. And then we go over another one, and there's still more sand. But maybe that hill, right before the ocean of nectar, that last hill, maybe there's just one more hill to go before you hit the ocean of nectar. So in this way, we should always be optimistic. We should be enthusiastic. That's life. Without enthusiasm for Krishna consciousness, it's just a zombie. Mode of ignorance and passion means zombie. People walking around like zombies. Sometimes you go out there and you can see pretty much zombied out the materialists. I have some other things, but I forget what they are now. Is there any objections? Yes? Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Hari Rasa Pandita?
Rasa. So, Hari Rasa Pandita. Also, you were talking about the good fortune of Jad Bharat, that he had this great credibility because of his previous life being such a wonderful devotee, and even in the body of a deer, he was able to remember Krishna. So, with that in mind, what would be our assurance? What assurance would we have, or what qualifications do we have so that we can have any assurance of, okay, have the opportunity in the future?
Prabhupada said, I gave you this good fortune. Prabhupada, Bhagavan Jiva. Pramanda Paramate Konya Bhagyava Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Beach. So we've been wandering over billions and trillions of lifetimes, wandering, just wasting time. Just sitting by the dock of the bay, you know, watching the tide come in. So Prabhupada's given us this great fortune. So what is our assurance? Our assurance is that Srimati Radharani will not cheat us. Everyone else in the material world will cheat you. You've been cheated in so many ways. Nobody likes to get ripped off, but we've been getting ripped off in so many ways in this material world. We should, oh, that's it, Maya, no more. I'll surrender. And then Maya, the Maha Maya becomes Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya is Radharani personally, like helping the living entity make spiritual advancement. We just want to become, Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Siddhanta says, we just like, as Rupa Goswami said, we just want to become the foot dust of the six Goswamis. We just want to become the foot dust. And we won't be cheated. So the assurance is there. The pure devotee has given us the assurance. He said, in my initiation letter, he told me, if I follow this process, you will be guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead. He said, and he also said, he said, try to help make this movement a smashing success. Actually, he said, help Jagadish make the Toronto Temple a smashing success. So, Krishna is not inconsiderate. Even we see he leaves the gopis, but that's just to give them more attachment to him and to show other great devotees like Uddhava, to show them how great the gopis are. Krishna's showing him that the gopis in their, you know, separation, their leela of separation from Krishna. So it's just, you know, Krishna is very kind. Krishna's sitting in our heart. Krishna's outside our heart. Krishna's everywhere. Krishna's given us the sun, the moon. The moon gives flavor to the vegetables, everything. Krishna's given us memory, knowledge, and forgetfulness. When we wake up in the morning, he reminds us, you're a Hare Krishna devotee, it's Mangal Arti, time to get up. Otherwise, who's reminding you that it's time to get up? No one gets up at 3:30. Who gets up at 3:30? Practically no one. But the super soul is reminded, oh, my dear Prabhu, you are a nice Hare Krishna devotee. Please get up. And who's reminding us how nice Krishna consciousness is? It's just Krishna. And sometimes we forget. But he'll remind. So yeah, Krishna is giving us the assurance through his pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada's not just making himself known, he's making the whole disciplic succession known. Who would have ever thought that books by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and, you know, the songs of Narottam Das would be worldwide? You go on the internet and you can go even bookstores. You can get these books all over the earth planet now. Books by Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. He's the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, one of the six Goswamis. And he wrote a book about Vrindavan, how wonderful Vrindavan is. Who would think that you could get a book like that? How is that possible? But anywhere in the world now you can get these books. Might have to find a Hare Krishna somewhere, but you can still get these books. I mean, HareKrishna.com, what is it? Krishna.com? It's not hard to remember. Is it K-R-I-S-H-N-A? Both ways. And they have both of them? Oh, that's good, because one common expression, we have one, but some other group has the other for the different spelling of it. I forget which one it was. Yeah, so, I mean, where can you get that? So the reason why I brought this up, because I can tell a Radharani story, like Prabodhananda Saraswati. He says in that book about Vrindavan, the glories of Vrindavan, he says that Krishna, he is like the pet deer of Radharani. And then sometimes Radharani is hiding from Krishna, but the trees sort of, I guess they prefer Krishna at this particular time. So anyway, she's hiding, but the tree, it takes its branch and starts pointing to where Radharani's hiding, so Krishna can find her easy. And then there's another, these are just short, like two, you know, short Sanskrit verses, you know, three or four lines, and, you know, Prabhupada Saraswati's telling a whole story in them. Anyway, there's one where Radharani and, you wonder what people do in the spiritual world. Radharani and Krishna are playing chess. Actually, everything we do in the material world, they're doing in the spiritual world, but it's all in relationship with Krishna, and it's very relishable, and nobody's envious, no one's jealous. So anyway, they're playing chess, and they're playing for, if Krishna wins, he gets a kiss. And it doesn't say what Radharani gets if she wins. I don't know. But anyway, they're playing chess, so Radharani wins. And Krishna goes, no, I won. And Radharani's looking at it, what do you mean you won? So the bird flies, one of the parrots comes, and goes, yes, Krishna has won. So the parrot is trying to side with Krishna. So then Krishna goes to get his kiss, and Radharani throws a bunch of flowers in his face. So these are little pastimes in the Prabodhananda Saraswati's book. What is it called? The Mahimamrita. Yeah. Very, very nice. Any other comments? Yes. Yes, that's where we heard that information about that Mataji leaving her body or something like that. They're just chatting all day. Oh, Bhakti Fest. Yeah, that's another thing. You can see kirtan. There's so many kirtans all around the world. My son loaded up this computer when went to Mayapur. He's in Mayapur now, so somehow or other I inherited the computer. And I was just looking at what's in there. I mean, you would need like many, 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 many lifetimes to just, you know, read and hear all the stuff that's been compiled. You know, that's probably, what he has is probably just a tiny part of it all. So there's unlimited mercy on the Earth planet now, and you know, if you can give it to one person, that's better than opening up a million hospitals. So the Hare Krishna devotees are the supreme welfare workers by the grace of Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada. And I just hope we can keep pushing this movement more and more and make it a smashing success. What's that? Well, the computer is like the mind. It's the mind. The mind can think of good things, bad things. The computer is like this gigantic rascal mind, but it can be taught to do good things, too. All glories, Prabhupada.